I have lots to critique about the entire franchise. I think that there's something kind of randomly queer about the fact that they're all pals and all dated the same person.
Welcome back to Dear Queer. We're all feeling a little fuzzy this week. I'm a little sick, and they have just moved into their wonderful home, which we're currently in. It's our first episode here. So we decided to kind of give ourselves a bit of a break, and we are doing another episode on reality TV because there's constantly things to update each other on. So that was our reasoning, and I'm excited to get into it.
It's also what you watch when you're sick.
Yeah. Yeah, I dove into Vanderpump Villa today.
Amazing. A bit.
And it was very much the same as you would expect from any of the shows that she has. There's always one or two or three overly macho men who are like obsessive and jealous over their exes, who of course are on the show too, as a natural way to create some tension. And truly, it was basically like you could probably guess some of the things that happened on the show. It's so formulaic, you know?
We almost got in like a accident in LA over Lauren shrieking while I was driving at a billboard of Vanderpump Villa.
Really?
And being like, oh my God, babe. Oh my God. What is that? Is that a new show? Do I have, is that a new, is that Lisa?
Yes.
I was like, I guess it is. I don't know what it's about. And then when we went and picked up our friends who had flown into LA, Lauren made a point of being like, okay, guys, watch, look, there's a Vanderpump Villa billboard.
I mean, I do.
And yet we have not watched it.
I do like Lisa. I think she actually is quite a reasonable human.
What?
I like Lisa.
I think this is a hot take.
I think she's pretty reasonable, and it's to a certain degree. You know what I do like, and maybe it's all performance though. Maybe it's just all performance.
My take is that she can only do these shows with the younger and younger people is because she is so unhinged and like can't hang with her own generation.
Burns bridges.
Ooh, that's true. Okay. See, I haven't.
She's
been
no friends her age.
No, none of that.
She, I mean, she probably does. That's an insane thing to say about someone I don't know. Yeah. But like on TV, she isn't. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe she just likes to fill the kind of mom role and she keeps putting people around her to make her. Because that's kind of what she's doing.
Don't come for us, Lisa.
In this episode with a few people. I don't know how, honestly, I don't know how she picks them to begin with. But like she does like falling into that kind of, like surrounding herself with broken, like, or like tiny little birds.
There's a whole power dynamic. And like we went back because Dev is new. Okay, wait, we should also say we've also enlisted my fiance Dev for this episode.
Yay.
Because yeah, we're fuzzy and we need the reinforcements. Do you want to say hi? Introduce yourself again.
Yeah, sure. I'm Dev, Lauren's fiance. Pronouns are she, they. Yeah, I don't know. Baby bird comment really got me.
I know, you liked it, eh?
Okay. But what I was going to say is that Dev is newer to reality TV. And so was watching Housewives with me. And that because of all of the Kyle Richards queering, which we can talk about. But we have since gone back and Dev is watching from the beginning of Housewives. And so you also see Lisa Vanderpump in those earlier seasons before she burned all her bridges. And she has like some random houseboy who lives with her. And
yes,
there is like all these, I don't know, curious dynamics.
Yeah, that was very much
like
a
the
broken
power
two thing where she was like, he's, and I mean, his story was, I don't know how truthful it was.
Yeah, I don't
but,
know.
But she was very much like, take him under my wing and, mm-hmm. and all that. But so yeah, it's conflicting. So part of me thinks she's reasonable, but how reasonable can you be if you keep, like, there's no way that she picked the best of the best for this villa. When I look
this
at who's
villa
on it,
is not slain.
There's no way they're the best of the best.
No.
And like you can imagine, she would have had a lot of people applying, and could have had like really top shelf workers there.
But can you help me out? Because I actually, as excited as I was for that billboard, I actually don't know the premise of the show.
It's literally just this chateau in France. And okay. So then they have guests come and stay at it for like a day or two or whatever. And they have to, they have, you know, different, like they have servers and bartenders and event planners and things, and they all none of them get along. And they have to host, you know, guests, really rich guests, basically.
For me, I just like can't get over why these people need to keep making shows. Like they have so much money.
Yeah.
There's been so many spin-offs, so much going on. Like I just feel like they don't need another show. Like I feel like they just need to chill and relax with their heaps of money.
Yeah.
Like it seems like, I don't know, Vanderpump Rules just did like the best season it's ever done in the drama of Scandal.
Mm-hmm,
and I just feel like she probably made mad bank off of that.
Yeah.
And she could just chill. But instead she's doing Vanderpump Villa. Maybe she feels fulfilled by it. I don't know.
Maybe. But you're right. She's got to embrace the kind of George Costanza mantra where like you get out when it's good.
Yeah.
Which he learned from Stanford. He's like, Lisa, all right, I'm done here, everybody. That was the show.
Lisa, this is for you. If you're listening to Dear Queer, get out when you're having fun, a la George Costanza. And also like and subscribe.
Yeah.
Dear Queer.
come on our show. What are you two watching right now?
Oh my gosh. We've been watching, I don't know, are we late to it? The U.S. Traitors?
Well, no, we did U.S. Traitors and now we're on U.K. Traitors because we were corrected that the U.K. Traitors is better.
The U.S. Traitors, the season two is...
Well, okay, so U.S. Traitors, the one that we watched at least, because we're not traitor experts, so don't come for us. The U.S. Traitors season that we watched was, I think, season two of U.S. Traitors. Mm-hmm. And it's all reality TV stars pulled from other shows, like The Challenge and Survivor.
Phaedra, Pilot Pete, Parvati from Survivor, Sandra from Survivor. Like, it is stacked. People there's from Housewives. The Challenge, there's Housewives, there's like...
Oh, Kate sorts. From Below Deck. Mm. It's good. It's a good mashup.
Yeah. Okay.
But I will say that our friend Ben, shout out Ben, Ben corrected us to go to season two of UK Traitors because it's just normal people. It's just like everyday people.
Right.
And that's quite an interesting dynamic because there's less performativity and actually more interesting social dynamics to pick apart.
Okay.
Because they're kind of, it's interesting. But that is like, I feel like because we don't watch anything anymore that has any plot or highbrowness to it at all, that is like the highbrow version of what we're watching right now, which is insane.
Alan Cummings hosting Traitors is our highbrow.
Is our highbrow. It's highbrow. Highbrow. It's like, like this is like elevated, which is insane. And the low brow that we were watching is the Valley, which shouldn't be watched under any circumstances. I don't
know. What's the Valley again?
I got this.
Yeah.
The Valley is the cast.
Is it old or is it new?
It's brand new.
No.
Basically, it's the cast-offs, the people who got booted off of Vanderpump for fighting. Oh, actually, there's some bad stuff. I think one of them had some
racism. For sure.
No. And anyway, the premise is,
if
you can call it a premise, is like, we're having kids now and we moved to the Valley and we're just as messy as we've always been.
Brutal.
And like they are. And also, the only reason I'm curious and interested in it is because their marriages are all just in shambles.
Okay. Is the bartender terrible guy from Vanderpump, Jax, in it?
Yeah.
Who's he married to?
He married
the one he can get.
The one he cheated on. All of it. Yeah. She's got the best Southern accent.
Yeah.
And I feel bad because I'm blanking on her name.
I mean, I don't know any of their names. I just know that there's this one couple and they are so chaotic and so awful to each other, but not in like a way that is like, it's just like this underlying creep of like they just don't like each other.
Right.
But the way that they talk is just so blunt about it. Like they are just so honest and it's like this really chaotic dynamic where it's like very fascinating because I think, I don't know, I know plenty of people whose marriages didn't work, but most of those people are kind of quiet about it or embarrassed about it or like don't really talk openly about it, what happened in the inner sanctum of their marriage. But these people are just on TV being like, yeah, my sex life is about as interesting as the Sahara Desert. And you're like, whoa, like you're just like, that's a thing you say about your current wife?
Yeah.
Like not about someone you've gotten divorced from, but like your current partner.
That's brutal.
It's just weird. I don't even know why we're watching it, to be honest.
I I think it was the second episode, though, and it might have even been that same couple. I thought there was an interesting moment where they're basically filming a couple's therapy session.
Yeah, that was interesting.
And the, do you remember what he said?
I mean, he said lots of things, but he said...
I was just so fascinated that in the like honesty and rawness of it, of what he was sharing. And I felt like you don't usually get let into this side of someone's relationship in this like very intimate way.
Did you watch Couples Therapy?
Yeah.
I was going to say, great. We need a crossover show that's Couples Therapy meets Vanderpump Rules.
But it's like Couples Therapy, but or like the worse.
Yeah. Yeah. But like they clearly need it. But yeah. It would be fascinating to actually, I don't know, see if there's anything under there. What's under there?
I just don't know because I can't tell if that... sometimes I'm fascinated by these dynamics where it's like these couples that are just kind of like don't seem to really like each other very much, aren't very kind, and are kind of lost. Mm-hmm. But it's like, is that because they're on reality TV constantly and they've lost the plot? Or is it because a lot of couples are actually just like that? Right. And I just don't know a lot of them. Or I'm not talking to people about that. Like, yeah. I don't know. It's weird. It's like, I can't.
No, there were moments where one of their partners was saying really sad stuff about the state of the relationship and their feelings in it. And it's like, her partner couldn't even like reach out and be like, oh my gosh, my partner's hurting in this moment. And like, touch their leg or like connect.
Yeah, there was like no intimacy.
It was so
they couldn't. Oh wow.
And it was just like are you listening to what your partner is saying? Yeah, it was interesting. So yeah, we can't look away.
Yeah.
We really can't.
We haven't followed up on The Bachelor ending.
Right. Oh right. Where did we end up?
Well,
it was before the finale, right?
Yeah, and then I think I texted you all and was like, have you all watched it before I gave any of my thoughts on it? I had to make sure we had all watched it.
Okay, so spoiler alert, The Bachelor is over.
Fast forward if you haven't seen the end of The Bachelor.
Give it
now.
Give it.
There were just things along the way that I noticed. And one thing in particular was, I want to say her name was Rachel. Was her name Rachel who came in third?
Rachel came in third.
So one thing she would do is that every time she was offered a rose, she would say something like, well, he was like, will you accept this rose? And she would say something basically like, always.
Yes.
That bothered me.
Expand.
I understand why she's saying it, because she realizes how much he wants to not be rejected.
Mm-hmm.
But really, is there nothing he could say?
It's a given.
In your conversations that would make you say, whoa, 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 maybe this isn't a good fit and I shouldn't accept this rose.
Like, yeah. Like, I want to have like 10 major kids life decisions.
Where
to...
are we going to live? Do we want kids? Maybe he says some like left side comment that you're like, whoa, our values are way different. I had no idea. So like the always didn't feel truthful
like
to
genuine.
Me. Or maybe it was genuine, but it shouldn't be in my mind. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And it's also giving Golden Bachelor vibes of like, I don't, did we talk about this? Basically, the Golden Bachelor, we didn't watch the series, but I kept an ear on what's going on. And so they had their big televised wedding. And now 3 months later, they are separating because she lives in New Jersey and he lives, I don't know, somewhere that's not New Jersey.
Yeah.
And that's why they want to be with their adult families and whatever else. And it's like, I feel like this is something we could have talked about.
That is wild. Way to like not set.
But no, a good, they were also on the always the track, youngins. I guess.
Yeah.
How do we feel about it?
Oh,
this,
okay.
Like generals, like, I don't know. This season just felt kind of blah.
I mean, in a way, the Bachelor franchise is blah, but like, but Maria was the star of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I did come around to liking what's her face.
Kelsey.
Yeah.
I
kind of came around the winner.
Yeah.
I wanted
him to pick Kelsey.
Yeah. I kind of came around to like her. We called her Topanga. I don't remember if we said that on the last,
I don't know. Yeah.
On the last pod, but she just has that, like, if anyone remembers Topanga from
Great Hair,
Boy Meets World. She has like
this
voluminous hair.
Right.
And yeah, I feel like she kind of grew on me a little bit, but honestly, I'm so sorry to Daisy and Kelsey, but I didn't.
Daisy and Rachel.
Daisy and Kelsey. I'm like, I just didn't find either of the last two people particularly interesting. Mm-hmm. But
I liked that Daisy went to Kelsey on that last night.
Yes, that was kind of a power move.
Yeah, and it was just such a great messaging that would, like, rather than it playing into the idea of, like, it's one woman against another and may the best woman win, it's truly, like, the best match, and it's not a competition between them. It's literally, like, who is going to be happier together, and the fact that they could lean on their friendship in that moment, too. And
that's special.
Yeah, and, I mean, Daisy probably just also really wanted to feel the vibe out and be like, did you get validation? Because I did not get validation. I'm not feeling good. And just to confirm what she kind of already knew.
Yeah, I appreciated that aspect of it, because it was like, if you were in that situation, you would, of course, be feeling the vibe and the energy of it. And it's like, to actually have them acknowledge it and kind of walk that through felt more real and honest than a lot of other seasons have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As much as I was like, he's a snore.
He's a major snore. But I think that I liked that there's a queer. I've never watched a full season of The Bachelor like I did this one, like really where I paid until attention this year. The whole time. And while I have lots to critique about the entire franchise, the way that they do the shows, the people they pick, etc., I think that there's something kind of randomly queer about the fact that they're all pals and all dated the same person.
True.
Because that's like a very queer vibe to be like, oh, we all have the same ex and we're just going to hang out and be like, we're girls, girls.
Right.
And I think that the concept of being a girls, girl is queer in and of itself.
Yeah.
Because it's like, yeah, we're just like, we're here for each other. We're not here to get like swayed by like weird relationship dynamics or like whatever. Like, we're going to show up for each other. Mm-hmm. And boys can be girls, girls too. And non-binary people can be girls, girls. It's just how it is.
Yeah. I think there's been an evolution of that, of the contestants on these dating shows actually showing up better for themselves and talking more honestly and upfront, because they've seen how other casts members have stepped in it. And like, even I watch Love is Blind as well. And they talk about it. They're like, oh yeah, I'm a girl's girl. Like, go out. And they're, you see them encouraging each other to go after their exes, their this, their that. And it's, it's fascinating.
I did appreciate though how he didn't say I love you until the end.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't throw that around. Mm-hmm. I did appreciate that about him.
Did you think it was going to burn him, though, at a certain point? Like, because people weren't sure where they stood?
I guess he was trying to say it in other ways. And I guess he did a good job of it, because Kelsey felt validated.
Are they still together?
And Daisy didn't. I think
they are,
yeah. And another thing I was going to say that was just interesting. I mean, the whole premise is just so wild. Like, he's there saying, I really need to be sure that they're sure about me, but then yet they don't really get the same certainty. Yeah. Like, it's this kind of one-sided expectation.
That's the deal.
I know, it's so wild though, eh? Like, I don't know, maybe he knew that it was unfair, but at the same time, sometimes it felt like he was kind of demanding in that respect.
This is a really weird parallel, but and you can cut this if you are uncomfortable with me talking about it on the pod.
Let's see where this goes.
But
I'll already just blush in advance of whatever you're going
to
say.
Right. The way that – the thing that came to mind when you said that, and while I was watching it became – like, it kind of was in my head, was that when I first started dating Lauren was dating someone else. And in a consensual – open relationship model, and once we were kind of in the dynamic was just seeing Lauren, and it was interesting because there was like this point where we had this like come to Jesus conversation where I was like, I'm really into you, and I would like to be your partner,
right,
your girlfriend, whatever we want to call it, in addition to whatever else you're doing. That's totally cool, but I would like that status or that you know, whatever. I want to be in a thing with you.
Right.
And Lauren was like, I can't do that right now because the other person that they were seeing wasn't ready for that step. And they were like, you need to give me time. I need like to be able to like get into it, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, cool. I can wait. And like it actually felt kind of weirdly affirming in the moment because I was like, you are really intentional about the way you're thinking.
Right.
And about the like, even though I would obviously have rather the quick, like, of course I want to be, blah, 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 be my girlfriend. It felt very like measured to be like, I don't want to put this person, other person that I care about in a position in which they feel uncomfortable or like their boundaries have been crossed. And so I'm going to take my time. And like, I hope that you can have patience for that. And I felt like when I watched The Bachelor, I was like, oh, Joey's like doing this thing where he's like, I'm not going to give you what you want, but I'm telling you why I'm not giving it to you. And I'm assuring you that it's not because you aren't good enough. It's just because like I literally can't in good conscience do that. And so for in a weird way, I was like, I didn't have the same reaction of like, I don't know, like I didn't think like, oh, they must be insecure about it or something. I was like, oh, that's actually kind of affirming to have someone be like that careful with your heart. Because if like either the, like Lauren could have come back and been like, I don't want to be in a relationship with you. And like that would have been helpful to know that they didn't lead me astray. But then when they did finally come to me and ask me, it felt very important. Like, it felt real because it was like, oh, we've dealt with this.
Yeah, now. I guess I'm contradicting myself a bit because I did appreciate that he took that measured approach in terms of like when he did say I love you and he didn't say it to everyone. He sort of waited. But I guess it was more maybe when he was in his own kind of insecure moments where he was like, I'm scared too. You know, maybe that's when I was just kind of like, well, they're probably a little more scared, you know,
for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
I think in that time, I like it and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was I was like, it was very clear that I wanted to move towards that.
Yeah, it wasn't like you provided me. But it was like very Joey. You provided me reassurance.
You're so Joey, Lauren.
It was so Joey.
Joey's so you, actually.
Yeah, Joey's so you.
Yeah,
I do love tennis and a gold chain.
Yeah, true.
You do, actually. No, you like provided me with reassurance that I didn't, because there was like a host of things you could have said that would have made me be like, oh, this person doesn't see this in the way that I do.
Right.
You provided me assurance, but also didn't like take the quick track, because I think for me, people being like very intentional, especially in an open dynamic where you have people's like multiple people's like hearts on the line, it's important to be like very intentional and like think about everyone in the dynamic. And you were like very careful with how you approached me and how, like, in my opinion, obviously I can't say, but like how you, at least in the way you approached me, held the other person's heart in mind. And like, I think that was like very Joey of you.
Good job, Lauren.
So I like that about Joey. I can say that nice about him. Otherwise, I think he's a little bit boring, but I liked that about him. I liked that he didn't rush to things. And Lauren and I have now adopted the wiping the tear away with the single thumb when one of us is crying, and it really cuts a moment and makes it silly, because it's like if you Joey the other person, then you can't really be you can't really like have a serious cry when you get Joey'd.
Man, there's a lot of crying on those shows though too.
So much trauma dumping.
And here.
Remember when the one woman? Yeah, remember when the one woman jumped on top of the table to try to get when they were doing that?
Yeah, that was unhinged.
Do you remember that?
No.
They were all
at
in
the
wedding
fake
dresses.
Wedding
or
thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then she literally jumped on top of the table to try to get to the chair
off.
On the other side.
Didn't she get the one-on-one time or something?
Isn't she Rachel? Wasn't that Rachel that did
no.
that?
No. No, it wasn't Rachel. No.
I thought it was Rachel that did that.
No, someone else.
God, my memory's terrible.
Yeah, I know. I'm surprised we remember any of their names, frankly.
I'm surprised any of us have brains to begin with.
Because all we do is watch this show.
Oh, my God.
Thanks for joining us on Dear Queer, Dev.
Thanks for having me. I love it here.
Come back soon.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been another episode of Dear Queer. Just a reminder, we are not actually experts. Any advice given should actually come from our experts, who we will bring in from time to time. Music brought to you by Sean Patrick Brennan, produced by myself, Lauren Hogarth, and your host, as always, Elena Papianis.
I'm getting that.
Nice.